Welcome to Prime Flix. Welcome back, rather, to Prime Flix after 3 months hiatus. This is the 15-minute film discussion podcast. I'm your host, Ed. Each week on Prime Flix, we pick a film, watch it, and discuss it. And our films are always available to stream on Netflix and or Amazon Prime, and sometimes YouTube. My guest for this week is Ben. Welcome back, Ben.
Hey, Ed. Thanks for having me.
Hey, it's always a pleasure. Our film for this week was Hot Coffee, a documentary about, well, that starts with discussion of the infamous McDonald's coffee lawsuit, and then goes into the details of the civil justice system. It came out in 2011. It was a TV movie, or it aired on HBO, so it wasn't released to theaters. So we don't have the usual rating kind of stuff that we have for other movies. So the best I can give you is that it's rated 7.6 on IMDb. So, Ben.
Yeah.
What were your thoughts about this film?
Well, I thought going in, I knew a little bit about sort of the actual nuances of the McDonald's coffee case, which a lot of people kind of streamlined into a sillier story than what it is. But besides that, I really didn't know the actual particulars of it. And one of the things I really liked about the way the documentary frames this lawsuit and lawsuits like it is kind of in the greater sort of social, kind of like social justice in a way.
Yeah.
Literally social justice, I guess. And I generally really enjoyed it. How about you, Ed?
Yeah, I did too. Enjoyed, but also it really... Enjoyed might not be the right word. It struck a chord with me and made me uncomfortable because I think I was very unaware of many of these things. So they're, you know, throughout the film, they interview these people and they ask them questions about what is a tort and what happened in the McDonald's lawsuit. And I realized that I was one of those people who always just thought, oh, frivolous lawsuits, and never really took the time to look at the, you know, behind the scenes. And it really sort of opened my eyes to stuff that I kind of always assumed was going on behind the scenes, but it sort of looked the other way, I guess.
Right.
But yeah, I thought it was pretty well put together. I liked how they had their sort of chapter settings.
Yeah, it was pretty well structured, I think, to give kind of like good beats between just sort of straight information about how civil justice actually works, what the purpose of it is, that kind of stuff. And then also these... I mean, they're basically sort of anecdotal stories about individuals. The opening one with the McDonald's coffee case. Then there's one where a woman was, I'm taking these out of order, but then there was the other one where a woman went to Iraq as a contractor for KBR, which is part of Halliburton. And that story is actually pretty interesting in its own right. Then I'm actually trying to remember. I just saw this yesterday and I've already
the
kind
twins,
of one.
The,
oh, right.
The
twins. Yeah. And the medical,
and medical malpractice.
Medical malpractice seems to be sort of like a big issue that both sides of American political, the both parties really seem to kind of glom onto. But what was interesting about that one, and I thought I just kind of started doing a little fist pump when they revealed the statistic that even in states where there are medical malpractice caps on awarded damages and that sort of stuff of any type, that doctors and the system itself doesn't really benefit from it. They're like, doctors don't pay less in premiums. There's not really any other benefit besides protecting insurance companies from massive losses. Not even that they would suffer cataclysmic losses that would be bad for business. I mean, it's just kind of this weird cash grab thing.
Yeah, and I think that's it makes you think. And I think a good point that they had sort of at the end, and because it was such a good presentation, they sort of told you what they're going to tell you, then they told you, then they told you what they told you, and like, here's the next steps, what you could do next, right? And the first one was be more informed, essentially, about the messages you're receiving, which is interesting because I never knew what the U.S. Department of Commerce was.
Really?
So,
I had known that for a while, that they're basically just kind of a lobbying firm.
Right, and it makes complete sense now, but at the time, I just thought, wow, you know, I did not know that, and I'm kind of ashamed I didn't know that. And so, you know, even when I am skeptical of political messages and generally think that I try not to pay too much attention to either side of those, it it confirmed a lot of my greatest fears, right? You know, that Citizens for whatever is not really Citizens.
Oh, yeah. It's really kind of interesting. They bring that up midway through the film, kind of establishing how a lot of the stuff that people complain about were like astroturfing and sort of these fake grassroots things that became what we consider a lot of Tea Party things. Really kind of got their first test run under the guise of tort reform and that sort of thing in the 90s, which I thought was really kind of interesting. I hadn't really drawn that connection. I didn't know that at all, that really kind of background. It's kind of funny how a lot of the stuff that, I guess, you know, it's going to sound kind of whatever, but a lot of these corporations and interest groups are doing is they play a very long game. These aren't necessarily new things. They just kind of grow and build on these other layers of how they've succeeded. And I guess that's true of most things, but it's interesting to see where the roots are of those.
Yeah, and I think it's hard to, when I was watching it, I was thinking, is it just because I'm like very liberal that this is all, you know, I mean, you know, you tend to lean more, you know, I know you don't necessarily identify with one or the other end of the spectrum, but I think you tend to lean more liberal.
Sure.
It would be interesting to get a fairly conservative person's perspective, because essentially the pro side was not presented in this.
It was very poorly at points. Yeah. If there was an advocacy side, there was the one sort of lead counsel for Americans for Tax Reform.
Tort reform, yeah.
No, tort reform, sorry. Not that's kind of like, they say it's a tax. It's a tax on businesses. No,
sure.
And then they basically did a little of that kind of run-up journalism at one meeting or whatever, the national meeting of the U.S. Chamber of Commerce. And you just got a couple more lawyers and a couple of professors. That's not very much. Although I think, to be honest, I think some of the people who they talk to individually, I mean, I'm just sort of assuming they don't really go into their own personal or political beliefs. But some of these people who were directly affected by their sort of choice to take a lawsuit or a liability, whatever, or to pursue a lawsuit and that sort of thing, to pursue litigation, I'm willing to bet that at least half of those people that were profiled generally otherwise skewed fairly conservatively, and at the same time were like, they kind of point this out that you know, they talk about this, it's like would you trust, like, well, I'm not abusing the system, this law is for the people who abuse the system. And it's like, well, sadly, laws apply to everybody. Whether you have a good case or a frivolous case, you've basically elected to take some of that decision out of the actual process of the courts, and you sort of prejudge everything and say, well, we're going to cap every damage up to $1 million, which to modern corporations is basically saying, like, you get away with it. That doesn't cost most major corporations anything. I mean, it's embarrassing for a minute, but... it's not a problem.
They mentioned that in the McDonald's suit with the punitive damages, with it being $2.5 million, saying that that was 2 days worth of coffee sales.
The jury actually did the math on it. They just said we need to punish you for 2 days worth of coffee sales.
Right.
So you have 363 other days to make up that difference.
Right, a drop in the bucket. Yeah.
Well,
And I didn't know. I mean. I knew it had always been oversimplified. I did not know how severe the burns were and that she wasn't driving and all that kind of stuff. Like, because it is one of these, it's easy to really just present it in a skewed light and say someone ordered coffee, a hot drink, spilled it on themselves, and then sued because it was hot, which is not actually incorrect, but without all those other contextual details, reads completely different than the coffee was much hotter than you could ever drink it at. It would burn your throat if you drank it at that temperature.
Right.
It gave her, she had to get skin grafts
degree burns.
And almost died.
Yeah.
because of her age and the damage that was done.
Uh-huh.
And that she didn't actually pursue the lawsuit until after she realized the extent of the damage and was just asking for them to cover what basically her insurance or Medicare or whatever would cover.
Well, yeah, exactly. And not only that, but the fact that this was McDonald's policy and they refused to budge on it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like that's,
yeah, and that was, I get that they probably have to keep their coffee very hot because they want it to be hot when you get it or whatever.
Well, and they're also brewing bigger batches and all that stuff. I don't know. I actually, full disclosure, my sister works in the, coffee production industry of the world. So I could ask her a little bit more about the nuances of it. But yeah, it's that stuff is insanely hot.
Yeah, yeah. 180 degrees,
180 degrees, yeah. They were,
and now, as a result, it's now 170.
Yeah.
They said it was 10 degrees less. And so, yeah, so it's, yeah. I was thinking it's kind of funny. Now McDonald's is kind of doing this, like, they're trying to kind of tell people that they're a cafe. You know, you can go
yeah,
to
they,
a cafe.
They've really started to sort of up their coffee game in the past 5 or 6 years, I would say.
Right. And, you know, people talk about Starbucks, but I think McDonald's probably accounts for more of the coffee sold in the United States than Starbucks because it's so convenient for most people who commute.
Price is lower, too.
And the price is lower. Yeah, so it's interesting. It the punitive damages did very little to affect McDonald's.
It's not even like that one franchise shut down or something. That's still there in New Mexico. Like that, right. McDonald's is doing fine. I do want to get to like my one big criticism of the movie. Was sure. That if you are a fan of documentaries, this one doesn't really give you a whole lot new as far as how documentaries tell their story. It's well told,
yeah,
but it's very formulaic, and I felt like it kind of sags a little bit when they got to the judge, this Diaz guy in Mississippi. And it's an interesting story talking, or an interesting issue to talk about how, you know, these lobby firms are pushing to get judges that are favorable to corporations and stuff, and that makes sense, but it just wasn't all that interesting. And you can try and get John Grisham in there as well, but I really started to tune out at that point.
Yeah, I think I agree with you. And I think, you know, the one thing that it did that I think really, that I did like was the sort of the man on the street kind of thing. But at the same time, I recognize that just like the examples they choose, just like the people they choose to interview, it's all sort of cherry picked.
Absolutely. Right? So,
There could have very well been, you know, 5 people out of 10 that came up and said, yeah, tort reform is, or torts are this.
I would be surprised. Not I had no idea what tort reform really was. I'd heard the term kicked around and stuff. And actually, I had thought it was a good thing regardless, because like you, regardless of your other political feelings, you have this impression that there's this culture of sort of the ambulance chaser frivolous lawsuit thing.
Sure, sure.
Which doesn't, maybe at that level, at that very low level with like car accidents and stuff, there is a certain amount of that. But to a large degree, that doesn't really exist, especially these large, large cases that get huge awards.
Sure. Yeah. Most of them settle out of court for smaller amounts. Mm-hmm. I think, it's interesting because you're essentially saying, these people, they shouldn't get away with these frivolous lawsuits. But then you're also saying, so these large companies should be able to get away with even worse things, right? It's like you take someone to jail for robbing a bank, but you look the other way when a company robs someone's, like, all their employees' pension funds.
Right.
Right?
And the other...
So I think it...
Sorry.
That's one take on it. No, okay. Go ahead.
I was going to say, well, the other interesting thing about it is you're talking about the role of, like, laws on the books versus sort of the civil court thing where it's the finding of fact and the finding of wrongdoing that isn't necessarily a crime.
Yep.
I think there's actually a really good kind of nuance to that. It's like not everything needs to be a thing where you go to jail or that the feds come in and say, we're taking this from you.
Right.
It's just saying it's kind of like, in a way, it's the difference between like if you went into the Apple store and they were just like, well, too bad. Every so often Apple does a thing where they like surprise and delight somebody. They're allowed to make an exception for somebody who has had an accident happen. And it's like, okay, well, here, we'll make this better. And it's like, well, sometimes something sort of demonstrably wrong happened and it was unfair, but it wasn't necessarily like a crime. And I think the nuance of civil law is kind of what that's about. And yet we're trying to sort of gut that. And so either you send people to prison for doing something or they get away free forever. Like that doesn't seem right. There's got to be another tool in the bag.
Agreed. Agreed. Well, that's actually getting us close to the end. At the end, we always do our little discussion of potential other films to watch. Have you seen... I've not been watching films as much as of late as I used to.
Well, you've recovered from a move and all that stuff, so...
Yeah, I've been busy. I've kind of gotten back on the horse a little bit, but I've been watching a lot of Redbox movies, so I don't know if any of those are necessarily on Netflix streaming. I haven't got a chance to look. Hopefully they're not, because I would have gotten them for free rather than getting them at Redbox. But As far as this one goes, I mean, I think, you know, there are a couple other documentaries out there that are in the same vein if you really want some more of this.
Yeah,
I mean, there's the obvious ones, you know, but I can't think of any that really stand out as like, oh, there's this really great one that people haven't seen.
The only one I would recommend, and unfortunately I'm looking right now and it doesn't appear to be available streaming, is a movie that came out. Let me go back to that page. Shoot. I just hosed it. It came out almost 10 years ago, actually exactly 10 years ago, called The Corporation. And that's kind of like the mother lode of this type of documentary. It's very long, and like it's over 2 hours, I think, which for a documentary is, I think, a little much. But it's really good and tackles pretty much the root of, I guess you could say, all sort of modern evils.
Interesting.
Yeah.
One-stop shopping.
I would think so. I think seriously, if you see The Corporation and then you look at like Netflix recommends, it's like, oh, these are just little like subsets of The Corporation documentary.
Yeah, it's interesting. The point you bring up there that documentaries sometimes go from, you know, you can get the really broad, like we're going to cover the entire, what is the one? There was one that covered the entire, like the entirety of the Bush administration. I can't remember the name of
it. Sounds like a Frontline documentary, but.
Yeah, it just like literally went through the entire, I mean, through Iraq, through Afghanistan, everything. And it was like, and then you can watch your own specific ones.
Sure. Like just about
this one. Yeah. Oh, that's okay. Go ahead.
I was like just the Florida election, just his domestic policies, just the war in Iraq, just the war in Afghanistan. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. This one I thought was going to be specific and ended up being more broad.
Sure.
Because you recommended it and I didn't actually, aside from knowing what you had kind of given me as the synopsis, I didn't look at anything else, which I actually kind of like to do. More so now with movies, like I'd rather not know anything about them going into them. I think it actually makes it more enjoyable for me. So I'm glad I didn't do what I sometimes do and look it all up. So,
Ed, just to update, The Corporation is available on Amazon Prime for free viewing.
Nice,
great suggestion I made.
I think most people here, you know, let's be honest, most people listening to podcasts are savvy. And they can get their hands on stuff if they need to, well, you know, through whatever means they need to. So we'll just give you the suggestions and you find it. How about that?
That sounds fair.
Okay. So that's it for this week. If you like what you hear here and you'd like to hear Ben and I talk about, you know, more general topics, you can also check us out on the Stuff Smart People Like podcast. That's sort of a panel discussion podcast where just kind of four guys sitting around talking about whatever we feel. It's all good fun. Sometimes it gets a little wacky. So check that out. And until next time, happy streaming.